Hello friends, I will be covering the chapter number 15, which is called as decision making, the concluding chapter in this book, Principles of Management. A very, very important process, decision making, and many of us are scared to take decisions, right? But can we escape from taking decisions? No. So let's go through this journey and try and understand what is decision making all about, right? Can there be anyone who has not taken any decision in his life? Nobody. The answer is no. Everyone must have taken some or the other decision sometime or the other. Be it taking admission in the school, be it making a friendship with someone, be it buying a bicycle when the person was in his school days, or having taken up this course, hybrid course, a DLP course, that was also a decision which you took, right? Every one of you takes decisions, but the question is how? How do you take decisions? Do you take your own time? What is the background to a decision making? When do you take a decision? Are you forced to take a decision? And most importantly, are you taking a decision under emotional conditions? A very important part of decision making is emotions. We'll come to that later. Have you taken the decision consciously, or do you take it unconsciously, subconsciously? You are just led into taking a decision. Like some people hilariously tell me that they just got married. Was it a conscious decision, or did you got married because somebody forced you to get married? You were drawn into a marriage. These are also important decisions about which we are conscious much later. Am I right? What situation have you gone through while making a decision? What do you go through when you're taking a decision? The emotional aspect. Is there a turmoil? Is there a confusion? Are there fears? Right? Sometimes it is a stressful exercise, isn't it? It's quite stressful for many people to take even simple decisions, or what we think is simple. Like ordering for something to eat in a restaurant. There are people I know, they are very confused. They take a lot of time, and then the other people who have gone with them are waiting for them to decide. The waiter is also waiting, and then these people give up and they say, okay, order for anything. Some of you listening to me may be doing it. Ask yourself, why is it that in certain scenarios you just are not able to take decisions? Majority of decision making, what I'm going to be talking about, is not covered in the books. I'm taking a behavioral view towards decision making. An important management tool which is required for us to take very crucial steps towards processes of goal fulfillment. But in this, the behavioral part of it should be understood by us, right? Now, having said this, decision making is one of the most crucial functions in the management process. The word decision comes from the word decide, D-DE-CIDE. D means alternative, side means killing. So what are we doing in a decision making? We are killing alternatives. A number of alternatives are in front of us, A, B, C, D. So I decide on one to the exclusion of the remaining three. We kill alternatives. Right? So first and foremost, am I aware of the alternatives is the first question. Do I know there are choices? And decision making becomes stressful when the choices are conflicting with each other's. Right? So decisions once taken can make or break the management process. Any decision that is taken can make or break the outcome. At the time of taking a decision, do you know that you're taking the right decision? Is there anybody who says that I am taking a right decision now at the time of talking? Can't say. Now, this is very foolish of people to say that I always take right decisions. Every decision at the time of taking a decision is like walking into a lot of unknowns. One cannot say for sure that there's a person X who always takes right decision. What I find people doing most of the time is, they take a decision and they glorify the rightness of the outcome. People take decisions and they glorify the rightness of the outcome. They market the outcome, saying that I've taken a right decision. Every decision has got its outcome, which is a combination of something that was expected and something that was not expected. Every decision has got an outcome which is a combination of something that was expected, which was planned before, and something which was unexpected, not planned before. What most of us do, decisions, after we take a decision, we justify the positive outcomes in line with the plan. And then we say, I've done a great decision. And if you're a good communicator, you'll go and tell the whole world as many times as possible that you're the best decision maker. You'll build up a brand of being a good decision maker. My take towards decision making is an objective take. I don't glorify people who are supposed to be great decision makers, because when I look closely, these very people also make a lot of blunders. I'm not being negative about them. Decision making is a process of taking choices, eliminating choices for a certain action to be taken. At the time of taking an action, I got to be very clear about one thing, that this is going to have an outcome which is going to be positive as well as negative with respect to what I have planned as an outcome or a goal. I need to be aware of this. That's most important. Now, one group of people will look at the positive outcome of my results and they'll say, wow, you're a great decision maker. Another group of people, my critics, inverted commas, they'll say, oh, lousy decision, because you haven't done this. So whatever decision you take at the end of it, you're going to get either a brickbat or a bouquet or both. Now, this is what makes human beings quite concerned about taking decisions. Many people are afraid to take decisions. Life decisions, decisions of the fear of being criticized. So many things people are afraid of, because that's where decisions they would not like to take up. Decision making, like I mentioned in the chapter on controlling, decision making is a sign of a maturity of the management process. Any management that you're doing of resources, your maturity, your understanding of the reality, your taking a stance and going in for an action is known by the way you take a decision. In one of the trainings which I do, an overseas company for whom I do a training, there is a particular module where we talk about the importance of taking a decision, right or wrong. One has to take a decision. When you take a decision, you go through a lot of emotional ups and downs within you. To ensure that you don't go through too much of ups and downs, what do you do normally? You arm yourself with a lot of data, a lot of information. You ask people, and you know, you are actually trying to take a cushioning from the post decision making criticism. What you do is, you are trying to take a cushioning, you are creating a cushion soft enough by arming yourself with all information, all types of data. Now this is the psychological side of taking a decision. So when I take all the information, I feel comfortable. I think I'm in the right direction. And then we take a decision. And many of us know that in spite of all the data, in spite of all the information, some things don't work out the way they're supposed to work out. Something can go wrong. Unfortunately, that might go wrong on which people are having their eyes on. And so you again feel bad about taking a decision. So the bottom line of any decision making, in short, is there's a huge amount of emotion involved in a decision making. It's not covered in any management book. One has to understand that if I have to empower my employees, if I have to empower my boys, if I myself have to get empowered to take a decision, then I must understand what emotions I go through when I take a decision. Now, once I understand that part of me, then I'm able to understand the part of other people also. Because this becomes incomplete, this whole discussion, if I only talk about the various decision-making principles, etc., which are coming through in the subsequent slides, and I don't discuss about the human element of it. Because at the end of the day, when we're learning this particular subject, we've got to learn how to convert it into a behavior so that it works for you and as well as for the company. And that's my emphasis. If you see from chapter 1 till chapter 15, in all the slides I've been talking about the behavioral aspects of the principles of management. Right? So if you take a wrong decision, inverted commas wrong, I would say, you have to face the adverse consequences. After taking a decision, there is bound to be a certain amount of reaction from people or response from people. Now, one has to understand which is a crucial part of the decision making that has to happen. A simple thumb rule I like to give myself and others. If I'm going to take a decision of giving this talk to you guys who are listening to me, what is the important activity or important actions I need to take so that the subject reaches you? So the way I have taken my decision, right or wrong, is again, people like you who are listening to me have to understand. My way of decision making, my basis is, does the subject reflect in understanding and transformation of the individual? So on that basis, I put in my inputs and then I deliver the lecture. That's the way I have taken a decision. How? Based on what I perceive majority of the people want. From my experiences, from the feedback, from the various lectures I've taken, from the various interactions I've had in my training programs also. Now there may appear to be some audience of mine who are listening to me right now who'll say that, look, this is not the way decision making is to be taught. And they are not wrong. They are right in their own way. So whatever decision one takes, in short, there is bound to be two sides to the outcome of the decision and how it is being read by people. Now, in the earlier chapter number 4, I spoke about globalization and modern trends in management. If one has to transit into working pretty involved, pretty informal, one has to take frequent decisions today. And if you're afraid to take decisions, you'll find yourself completely blown away. You'll be nowhere today. And when you take decisions, it's important to know what is the outcome rather than who did it. It's not the person, it's the outcome that matters. There's a certain decision theory which talks about the importance of what decision is taken rather than who takes a decision. So one of the empowering things which one can understand is, take decisions which are subjective, which are objective, and solving a problem, giving a solution, rather than trying person, getting person oriented. He did it, she did it, this went wrong, that went wrong, glorifying things rather than that, see what the work is done. Because that's how global working operates. What's important is, students have to understand the subject. They must know how to put it into practice so that they become good managers and they add value to the companies and to themselves and to the economy of the land. This is how I look at it. And so the delivery of mine is as per the decision which I have taken. Right? So going back to this, the success of management depends upon the quality of decision. If the manager fails to take a sound decision, he is likely to face all-round effectiveness. Now, when you say sound decision, means a sound decision is one which is taken in line with what we are expecting as an outcome, pre-planned, smart goal. So on that basis, it has to be, the decision has to be taken. Now, decision making has got a subjectivity. The human being who takes a decision matters a lot. How he thinks, how he maps the reality around him, how he has his own mental models about things outside. Now those things get superimposed. Any amount of training in decision making is not enough because the human element always comes in. At the time of taking a decision, the very point of signing the document, of doing something, decision you're taking, at that point of time, the emotions run very high. That's a reality. We may not be aware of it, we may not validate it, but the fact is that at the time of taking decision, one has to have a lot of understanding and clarity saying that this is it. And then what happens is, if the decision is not sound, it becomes ineffective for the organization. Decision making is risky. When something is risky, it gives you a power to act upon it. Very important. Because if you don't take a risk and you don't take a decision, somebody else takes a decision and he goes forward. If you take a decision and you fail, you learn how not to take the decision again. So a decision making is more like a trial and error of sorts, not totally. When I say trial and error, I mean I'm not talking about decisions wherein you shoot in the dark. I'm talking about decisions in spite of all the information with you, in spite of all the data with you, there is still a trial and error. Trial and error in terms of the outcome, whether it will happen or not happen. And so be aware of it. You cannot do anything about it, you've got to be aware of it. And when you're aware of it, what happens is you develop a certain type of intelligence, a certain type of an intuition, very difficult to describe scientifically. And then you start realizing that certain things start, you know, you start intuiting on certain aspects. That's what leaders are made of. They take good decisions. Rather, they take decisions in which it works for the group good. According to me, a good decision is one which works for the group good, for the purpose of the organization. There are many things that work for the organization and some things don't work. If I take a decision wherein many things are working, I'm a good decision maker as far as the organization is concerned. Because for every decision, there can be critical views on both sides. One has to see whether it's doing group good and achieving the goals or not. That, according to me, is a good decision. Right? Although the decisions are seen rational, in reality, they need to strike a balance between rationality, logic, and emotions. Many people come and tell me, many managers, assistant vice president, vice president of companies whom I train, I take decisions only by facts and figures, only by logic. I said, really? Then I put him into a case dialogue. I asked him, when was the last you took a decision on, say, buying a home? He said, I bought a home about 6 years back. I said, fine. How did you buy the home? So he tells me, I had these type of things. Vastu, this, that, you know, he puts on his list. East facing, west facing, whatever, whatever. I said, how many homes did you see? I saw 3 homes. All the 3 of them were identical. He said, 2 were identical. Almost everything that I wanted was there. I said, between A and B, which one did you choose? He said, I chose A. I said, what made you choose A? He pauses because he's sensitive to the conversation. And when he pauses, I ask him, yeah, what happened? He said, now I realize that at the time of taking a decision, there was something else that came into the picture. Some feel, some emotion. He uses this word. Now I tell him, now realize one fact. I'm not trying to invalidate your decision-making logic at all. No. Realize one fact that in spite of all the logical decisions you take, at the time of taking the decision, there is a feel which you talked about. There is a logic you talked about. There is an emotion you talked about. Those actually come into the picture at the time of taking a decision. Hence, practically all the decisions appear to be logical outcome of a logical thought process. It need not be. Because at the time of taking decision, there's a balance that one needs to maintain between rational on one side and emotions on the other side. As a matter of fact, good leaders put their emotions into the rational. And hence, their decisions usually turn out to be for the group good. Taking it further, friends, what are the characteristics of a decision making? A decision making is a selection process, as I told you earlier. The best alternative is selected out of many available ones. And if there's only one alternative, there's no decision making. Take it or leave it, as you call it. Hobson's choice. That's not a decision making. In a decision making, there's a choice between alternatives. Minimum 2. 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3 can be. But minimum 1 plus 1. Then there's a decision. It's an end process. It's preceded by the detailed discussion and selection of alternatives. End process of what? You plan and do everything, and at the end of it, I have to take a decision. Okay, this or that. In a manufacturing unit, should I make or should I buy the component? Decision. Right? It's the application of intellectual abilities to a great extent. An intelligent man alone can take a good decision. When we say intelligent means, we are not talking about IQ. A person who's able to think, rationalize for himself, who's able to put 2 and 2 and make it 4. Somebody who has got a reasoning of his own, he's able to take decisions better. And so when you take a decision, your intellectual abilities start growing. At the same time, people with good intellectual abilities tend to take good decisions. I'm using the word tend to, not always. I know people with very sharp intellectual abilities who take very poor decisions because the emotion part of it, which is not put down in any of these books, comes into the picture. Right? Decision gives happiness to an endeavor who takes various steps to collect all the information which is likely to affect a decision. Decision gives happiness, does it? Yes, it does. Consider the time when you did not take a decision and you were mulling over it for a long time. Many people do that. They want to decide, but they keep on procrastinating. Wait, I'll do it later. One fine morning, due to some reasons, they take a decision. Notice yourself at the time when you took a decision and immediately after that. Was there a joy? I'm sure all of you will say yes. Immediately after taking a decision, there is a certain joy which every human being experiences. The reason behind the joy is you feel validated. You feel that you've done something which makes you feel that, yes, I'm a human being. I've gone ahead. I've taken a stance. This is very important. Because when you take a stance, you start moving ahead. When you move ahead, of course, there is a lot of noise that comes around you. Criticisms, appraisal, etc., etc. That may drown you a little later. But if you realize it, there's a happiness and a joy of taking a decision. There's a good news about decision making. And then when you take the decision, at the time of taking a decision, you start collecting data. There's a lot of joy because you're moving in the direction. But immediately after taking decision, also there's a happiness, a joy which people experience. You've got to catch it. You have to be self-aware about it. Right? In many families, children are not allowed to take decisions. Indian families are known for this. Many Indian families do not allow children to take decision because of extreme caring, too much of caring. Least realizing that not for too long parents will live and children have to be on their own. They know it intellectually, but emotionally they don't allow children to take decisions. Right? In fact, they're allowed to take decisions. If they're allowed to take decisions, their confidence level improves and they learn from their mistakes and are not afraid to take decisions on important matters. Many managers I've seen who are very timid to take decisions. If you look back into their past, in their child life, younger days, they were never allowed to take decisions. One domineering person must have been there at home and he will not allow decisions to be taken by anybody. He will choose for others. The similar situation happens in an organization also. We have one manager, one very senior patriarch of the organization who will centralize all decisions to himself, not allowing others to grow in their own decision-making skills. Be aware of it. For the right reasons or the wrong reasons, people are stunted from taking decision-making actions. Right? They get a sense of responsibility and results into their growth once people take decisions. Right? Now, characteristics of decision making is situational. Every situation demands there has to be a decision taken. Now, you may or may not take a decision, but if you don't take a decision, somebody else takes a decision. It is situational. Now, one more dimension to situation is that there are times when I plan, I keep all the information data with me, and I'm about to act upon it. In the situation, when the situation actually comes, I do not act upon what I decided. Does it happen or not? That's why decision making is situational. So the situation sometimes dictates the decision making because something new comes up. Some contingency which you never thought of. Right? An individual takes decision according to the prevailing situation and different decisions may be taken to solve the same problem. A problem of, say, financial issue in a home. Suddenly a financial crisis comes at home. So you may take several decisions. You may sell off the existing home to go to a smaller home. You may take a decision of, you know, reducing your expenditure. You may take a decision of going for an additional job. For the same issue, several decisions can be taken.